Hello and welcome to Feminist Fridays, your weekly intersectional dose of self-empowerment and equality. I'm your host, Sarah Liberty, coming to your airwaves from Sydney. Today, our guest is a creative feminist filmmaker and playwright, all the way from New York in the US of A. Her name is Anna Fishbane, and she's going to be joining us to reveal all about her new film, Galaxy 360. But before we meet Anna, we're going to kick off with a new track by Elderbrook, one of my faves, called Beautiful Morning. Why? Because over where Anna is, it's the morning right now. I'd do anything to be alone, darling. I'd do anything to be alone, but nothing's going on. We can lie down, fuck around, love the sound of welcome to Feminist Fridays.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. I love that it's called Feminist Fridays.
We love some feminism here. So I'd like to kick off by asking about your background and your early influences. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I guess I will say that I started out as an intellectual is the way. So I have a PhD in philosophy of literature. Oh. And I started out really as a writer and was working on a novel, but had always wanted to perform on stage. And that was kind of like I was born in Russia, and I was brought over to America as a small child, and we were political refugees. But as a child in Russia, I always performed. And so, you know, as many, many immigrants in America will tell you, the parents really focus on practical careers. And I thought I was going to have a practical career. And then I sort of convinced my parents that if I go into the humanities and I teach literature, it's somehow practical. And they were okay with that. They felt that that was better than me, you know, going off and becoming an artist or a, you know, an actress. And so I convinced them of that. That was my first compromise. And then my second compromise was, you know, I'll wait on academia, but now I'm going to write a novel. And I worked on my novel. And as I was working on my novel, one of the extraordinary things about being a novelist in New York City, and I was in this amazing program called New School, I was doing my MFA. One of the amazing things is we got to perform our, I mean, nobody called it performing. Everybody called it reading your short pieces in clubs in New York and underground, you know, bars in New York and restaurants in New York, whoever would have us, we would do it. And it was part of sort of the process of becoming this sort of New York writer. And there was a place called KGB, where people would read their poetry or their short stories. And then there was another place called Cornelia Street Cafe. And that was really my first introduction to, I would say, my own self. So I wrote a bunch of short pieces called Conversations with My Breasts.
Ooh.
And it was one of those. And I was doing that while I was working on my novel. And I called up Cornelia Street Cafe, and Cornelia Street Cafe was like, you know, like the Broadway of our writing underground world, right? And so I called them up and I said, "Hi, can I just have 10 minutes on your stage? I have these stories, and one is called Conversations with My Breasts, and the other one is called Sex in Mommyville." And he said, "With titles like these, you could have your own solo show." And that became sort of the ultimate moment in my life, really the most important moment, and a moment I will never forget, because I was so excited. And I remember thinking, I can't believe I'm going to be, you know, performing my own short essays in New York in this underground little club. And I got there and it was filled with moms, and I got up on stage and it's as if I had always belonged there, and they were all laughing. And then, you know, and somebody, a woman after the show came up to me and she said, "You know, you're a star, you're a star." And I said, "No, I don't know if the stories were really that good." And she said, no, she's like, "I mean, you're an actress."
Oh, amazing.
And so that's how my sort of passion for acting was born. And that was, and then from there, I made a video of that performance, sent it out to a bunch of theaters in New York. And then the Flea Theater said, "Okay, we'll give you a solo show." And that became Sex in Mommyville. And before I knew it, you know, I had like tons of press about, because it was called Sex in Mommyville and it was so radical at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I had tons of press, and suddenly I was, you know, a performer and an actress. And that's when I essentially changed my life, started going to acting classes and voice lessons, and just, you know, really took it seriously. And I had already given birth to two kids. So it was an ambitious undertaking at that time. It was not an easy thing to do, but it was incredible. I mean, I felt, as if I had come home. And then when I opened at the Flea Theater, my first show, and it was called Sex in Mommyville, and there'd been tons of press about it, and the theater was packed and it was filled with moms. And I got up on the stage and I was so, so nervous, because that was fine. That was the real thing. And I think I remember like the first line was something like, "I stand in the kitchen and do the dishes," and all the moms broke out in laughter. And I thought, this is incredible. This is where I belong. And I never looked back. I mean, that became the thing I wanted to do.
I love New York, but I love New York even more now that you've just told me about all of those cool places you can go and see live theater and poetry. And I need to get back there stat.
Yes. Yes. It's, you know, it's an incredible place in this respect, because you don't fully feel it until you kind of join the art world and you are part of the art world, and you realize there's so many people in the city and they're all creating art, and they're so incredibly talented, and most of the world really doesn't know them, you know. And you could be in some cabaret place and the woman who gets up on stage and she's like, you know, 65 and she's singing incredible songs, and she's this amazing voice, and she's still doing it and still a love and a passion. And these are the people, you know, and this was the world that I opened the door to this world, and I became a part of it, and I felt so lucky to have become and gotten that opportunity. It was really, truly amazing.
It does sound very cool. You've already touched on this, so I think I might know your answer to my next question, but was working in the entertainment industry or the arts something that you always were passionate about?
You know, to that question, I always love to tell the story about how I used to ruin weddings and bar mitzvahs because if you repress one part of your life, it will come out to haunt you in ways that you never expect. You know, I was that irritating guest who really should have been on stage, right? But was not. I was doing all these intellectual things and I was working on my PhD and I was doing things that were very, you know, brain related, but I loved the stage. And so anytime there would be a wedding and there would be a band, I would be that person who would either dance by myself while everyone was eating, or even better, I would jump up onto the stage, grab the mic and join the band.
Nice.
And there were some memorable, you know, some memorable moments. And, you know, I think about them and you know, I get really, I blush when I think about it. But after I started performing, I can safely say, Sarah, that I stopped doing that. And that's when I knew that I was doing the right thing because I no longer needed to get up on stage at a wedding. You know what I mean? So I knew that I had no, that I loved performing. But I don't think I understood what it meant. I think that, you know, it kind of a lot of people in the abstract think, oh, I love the stage or I love to dance in front of other people. But until you are actually in the business of performing and you're performing every single night and you've got, you know, two shows a day, you really don't understand that, like, it becomes, I don't want to say a job because it is, it's always a passion job, but it's a lot more work than just, you know, being at a wedding. And I think like many people, I didn't know that when I would dream about being a performer. I think that I was always thinking in terms of the stage, you know, I was always thinking in terms of theater. I think that the idea of entering the film world came to me a little bit later.
So let's talk about that. So you've done Sex in Mummyville, you've done Conversations with My Breasts, and your current work is you've just launched a new film called Galaxy 360, which is a feminist comedy. Can you tell us about that? What's the plot of this film about?
Sure. So I was going to say that almost everything I've ever done has been feminist. You know, beginning with Conversations with My Breasts and Sex in Mommyville was really the search for a woman's identity. And, you know, it's about her sexual identity. It's about facing her own desires. It's about, you know, understanding how to balance being a mother and being an artist. And I was always obsessed sort of with this topic of womanhood and the complex place we're in honestly, globally, because I think of it globally now, because the more I travel, the more I feel that women are connected in the way that society pegs them, you know, stereotypes them, and in all of us who call ourselves feminists, you know, it's truly a movement across the globe. And so I had done all this, and then my web series was called Happy Hour Feminism, which was really the beginning of what would become Galaxy 360. And it was a web series where I just, you know, had women in a bar and women sat on top of this bar, and they were all CEOs and they were billionaires and they were scientists. And the men would come in and they would have like these problems with their, you know, weight or skin or looking younger, or, you know, two dads arguing about who's the better dad, the stay-at-home dad or the working dad. And the women were always giving them advice. And so that was the web series Happy Hour Feminism. And, one day I thought, you know, know, how fun would it be to have a male beauty pageant and to put it on screen? And so I came up with Galaxy 360, which became so much more than that. So Galaxy 360, A Woman's Playground, is a sci-fi feminist comedy. It takes place in 2195. Where women rule the world, men dream of getting married, and it takes place during a male beauty pageant. Yeah, that's the basic small synopsis.
Wow, but it's already enticing me, that's for sure.
Oh, good.
So what's the reaction been like to your film so far? Has it? I understand it's been aired at some film festivals. Tell us about that.
So I have just come back from Toronto, where I screened at the Toronto International Film Festival at the Toronto Market, and it was really an incredible experience. We sold out in like 24 hours, and because we had so much demand and so many people wanted to see it, my team and I ended up getting a theater in Toronto, the Royal Cinema, and they screened the film an extra night 2 days after our first screening. And we had so many women come out to the film. And that was one of the most phenomenal experiences. We had only 2 days to promote the film. But in the Eventbrite, we said, disco glittery clothing is encouraged. And women came out in, you know, glittery jumpsuits and, you know, funny hats and silver jackets. And the men came in silver jackets, and the men were telling me about how they were searching for the appropriate outfit for my show. And I, you know, like one of the most exciting things that happened to me at that time is I was at a bar and I was talking to a woman, and she said, you know, I work in this clothing store, and all these women in the last couple of days have been walking in and saying, where can we get disco glittery clothes? And this woman turns to me, she says, oh my God, that's your movie. And so I really, and you know, it was an incredible response. I mean, a response that was beyond my wildest dreams and expectations. And each individual person that wrote about the film in social media meant so much to me. I am so grateful for each one of their, you know, specific takes and responses. And people have called it a cult classic. You know, people have said that it, you know, one woman wrote an entire like paragraph about how her and her friend ended up talking about the film for 2 hours afterwards, and were still ruminating about the film. And so I thought, my God, you know, this is everything I've ever wanted and more. And the fact that people were calling it hilarious and were laughing during the screening. It was really one of my best screenings. I'm looking forward to having more screenings, hopefully coming to Australia to have a screening.
Because
I think my dark sense of humor would vibe well in Australia.
Well, congratulations on having such a phenomenal response so far. My next question is, when and where can people check out your film, and when could people in Australia hope to see it?
So I kind of decided right there and then while I was in Toronto that I wanted to have a global tour of the movie. So I'm not releasing it yet on streaming platforms. What I hope to do is to bring the movie to different cities across the globe and to have everybody come out, you know, to actual theaters to watch the film so that they can join as a community, because the film talks about, you know, the stereotypes, but it does it in a really humorous way, the stereotypes that women essentially live in, and how men, you know, men are basically experiencing being us. You know, they're in their bathing suits the entire time. They talk very candidly about their bodies and their weights and how they have muffin tops and how they're concerned that when women won't want them if they're not perfect, and you know what they do to get more handsome and more chiseled, and you know how to better attract powerful, wealthy women. And it was amazing because it really, you know, the men were all laughing at this, like they were laughing at themselves, but women were also laughing, and we're also laughing at our own world. So in some bizarre way, it's also our world that we live in today, where, you know, the obsession over women's looks has continued to be one of the, what I like to call one of the greatest time wasters in a woman's life, you know?
Definitely.
Right. And I don't ever, and I always say this, and I always say this as soon as I say that, I am, you know, the guiltiest party in this. I have wasted many upon an hour of worrying about my looks, but I live in a world where that matters for a woman. And it matters in the way that I'm treated. And if I am to have any semblance of power in a male-dominated environment, I have to care about my looks, because I can't just come in without my makeup and without my clothes being, you know, a certain way. And people, you just become invisible. And that's a real experience for a lot of women. And so as long as we live in the society that we live in, we are spending and wasting a lot of our time on looks in a way that men really aren't. And in my movie, men talk and think and worry about their looks and spend a lot of time on their looks. And it's a fascinating reversal for everybody, you know, to just experience.
Amazing. Well, we can't wait to see it. So my next question is, what do you hope to achieve through your work, through this film and other creative work?
It's a great question. I obviously, you know, care deeply about the state of womanhood today. I am particularly concerned about what's happening in America. I mean, I'm actually concerned about what's happening in every country. And I think about different countries and I read statistics from different countries. I continuously look at rape statistics across different countries. I'm concerned with the fact that, you know, in our country, abortion is now becoming quickly and steadily illegal in different states. And we almost can't believe, you know, I went to a woman's event recently and no one could believe what's going on. And women were saying, you know, we've become complacent. We think that everything is fine and we're progressing and we're making a lot of headway in so many different careers. And women, you know, a lot of women at this event were talking about women have been gaining financial freedom and women have definitely made huge strides in their finances. But they're, you know, constantly making steps forward, but then there's backlash and suddenly there are all these steps back. And we have to be honest with ourselves about what's going on. And I'm a huge proponent of hope and being positive, but at the same time, like if we don't face the reality of what's going on, you know, we're going to wake up one day and all these freedoms will be taken away from us. So what I really hope to achieve is, honestly, so I'm launching something that I call now Movement 360, and that is in conjunction with Galaxy 360, and it's going to be a conglomerate of different vlogs and educational programs for young girls and young boys, in the hopes that through humor, it'll be very, very different from your sort of traditional educational system. And it will be a humoristic approach to all this and kind of like in the vein of Galaxy 360, but we'll have like an event for who is the best man at wearing heels for 7 hours in a row.
Love it.
And, you know what I'm saying? Like, so the men get to really experience what it means to be us. And not only in this vlog world will they experience to be us, but they will want to, because it will be hilarious and funny. And they will then be more sympathetic to their wives. And the next time that they go to an event with their wives and she's wearing 6-inch heels, they will understand that she cannot walk another block back. She needs to be either carried or there needs to be a car, you know? And so I hope to arrive at some level of empathy where men really start to understand us, and where women, once watching it through the eyes of men or through the bodies of men and the experiences of men, women will be less hard on themselves.
Mm.
And I often think that, you know, so many of our conversations are women between women, two women. We're arguing, we're deciding what's a better feminist. Are you a real feminist? Are you this? And I always think, and we got to bring the men into this conversation. We got to have them join. And my hope is that eventually they won't be afraid to call themselves feminists. Eventually they'll be proud of it. Eventually they'll understand that, you know, equality and women having equal rights, women having equal power and wealth, is not going to mean that they're going to lose power and wealth, or equality. It's going to mean a better society, a more evolved society. A society can then focus on even greater things like space travel instead of constantly trying to put, you know, one sector of society down so that you can elevate yourself.
So my next question, which you've already touched on a little bit, is this is a feminist radio segment and podcast. What does feminism mean to you?
I've definitely touched on it just now. I think that if I were to look at it sort of, I've spent a long time since putting all this together, kind of writing, I hope to make it into a book eventually, but writing about my theories about feminism. And one of the things I think about, one of the problems that I continuously encounter is when I am being interviewed by men, for instance, I am asked if I hate men. I often get this question.
Wow.
Like even before I say I'm a feminist, if I even say, you know, I was at an event tonight, a film event tonight, and this man started flirting with me, and I said that my film takes place in 2195. And then he's like, I love it. I love it. I said, you know, just wait till I say the next sentence. and so then I said the next sentence, women rule the world. And he put like two hands in front of him and he started running away. And I get all kinds of responses from men when I say the word, and this happened to me at the Cannes Film Festival. I met men and women from all over the world, and I would often speak to men, you know, from Norway and Sweden and France and Italy. And often I would say things like, the feminist comedy takes place in 2195, women rule the world. I never got to the end of my pitch. As soon as I would say, women rule the world, the men would say, don't they already?
Nice. I like that.
Right. And I would always say, if you see my movie, you'd know that they don't. And there's a feeling on my part is that there's a lot of gaslighting that goes on with feminism because we're constantly being told that, you know, we've made so much progress. Why are we complaining? You know, the Me Too movement happened. Why are we complaining? Men have gotten fired for sexual harassment. Why are we complaining? You know, this woman has just become vice president of the United States. Why are we complaining? There's a female president in New Zealand. Why are we complaining? So we're constantly getting that. And at the same time, I always want to say, if you really want to be just and you really want to understand this world, we still have, you know, sex trafficking, and sex trafficking is 75% girls and women. You know, we still don't have, you know, tons of female billionaires. It's mostly men. The power and the economy and the money is still in the hands of men and parliaments, governments, you know, senators all over the world are still primarily men. And it's important to understand that. It's important not to be told that we're in charge when we're actually not in charge, because when we're told that we're in charge, we won't do anything. We'll just relax. Mm. And I feel like we have to keep fighting, and we have to keep getting to a place where we really, you know, are equal, and we're nowhere near there in my viewpoint. And whenever I get asked the question, do I hate men? That's just absolutely ridiculous. I absolutely don't hate men. I love men. I've loved men. You know, I've been in relationships. But I essentially want to educate men and to get them to be more empathetic to women, but also to understand that it's in their best interest, in society's best interest, in our survival as a human species' best interest, if we end rape globally. Like globally, I don't mean just one country. I mean across the entire globe, because it really matters. And that we care about places like Iran and India and, you know, the Middle East and wherever women's rights are being completely oppressed. Mm-hmm. Because it impacts all of us.
It does. And that- you know, I think we're definitely on the same team, Anna. We're both fighting for the same cause.
Absolutely.
So
I read a lot about you, and I feel, you know, I feel really open about saying this on your show, and I'm excited that you're offering this space for women to talk about this. I really am.
Women and men also come on this show because we like men right. to be feminists too.
No, exactly. No, exactly. And some of my closest friends are men, you know, like, and it's important to understand that. It's important that that's part of the story, part of the, you know, we can't do this if they're not listening to what we're saying. And I also want to hear their opinion and how they feel.
Absolutely. So just one more question. Where can my listeners find you, follow you, and connect with you if they're interested in checking out your film or maybe bringing it to their country?
Oh, fantastic. So you can find me at www.galaxy360movie.com, which is the movie's website. I'm also on Facebook as Galaxy360Movie. And then there's also Anna Fishbine Official, which is my website, my Facebook page, which has a lot of followers. And then please have your listeners check out our trailer on Britflix. And if you just enter, if you go to Britflix or you just simply go to YouTube and you enter Galaxy 360, A Woman's Playground, you will come across our fun and funny trailer. I mean, people have said it's funny. It's not just
that
me.
That sounds
not
great. It sounds wonderful. Fun. Well, thank you so much.
And on Instagram, of course. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Anna, and thanks for staying up late. I know it's early in the morning where you are at the moment, so we really yes. appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah.
Well, we have served you another artsy episode of Feminist Fridays for this week, but before you head off, here's a new track by Royksopp called Feel It. Oh,